All right, it is Tuesday. Feels like a Monday. I wish it were Friday. Welcome to Drive Time. It's Jason. We are on the air in downtown Minneapolis, right in the middle of graduation season. And every weekend, you get the kind of collection of graduation speeches. And I have been struck by how many of these speeches are so political. Scott Pelley from 60 Minutes is going viral today. The governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, has gone viral for his graduation speech. And I don't want it. I don't want any of it. When did the graduation speech become the "it's all about me" moment for the guest speaker? I would be very irritated if I were a parent or a family member or, frankly, even a graduate. I don't want to hear this kind of stuff at that time. 651-461-9226. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think the moment now calls for people to rise up, and the appropriate time to rise up is at the conclusion of a very expensive four-year college or graduate level education. To me, it makes no sense. And I understand, like, look, if you get invited to give a speech, you want to make your mark. You want to be remembered. You want to do something maybe a little bit different. I mean, all of the graduation advice, I think, has been given, right? And so instead of coming up with something trite, perhaps you think this is what you should do. I want to play a couple of examples for you, including what Scott Pelley said. And whether I agree or disagree doesn't really matter. I just don't think this is the venue for that. Here's Scott Pelley making a graduation speech. All about the things that are irritating Scott Pelley in the world today.
But in this moment, this morning.
Oh, this moment.
Our sacred rule of law is under attack. Journalism is under attack. Universities are under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. And insidious fear is reaching through our schools, our businesses, our homes, and into our private thoughts. The fear to speak in America. Power can rewrite history with grotesque, false narratives. They can make criminals heroes, and heroes, criminals. Power can change the definition of the words we use to describe reality. Diversity is now described as illegal. Equity is to be shunned. Inclusion is a dirty word. This is an old playbook, my friends. There's nothing new in this.
Wake Forest, you know, here's your moment. Here's really an unbelievable achievement, right? For the people who are graduating. Headlines are ripping Scott Pelley. To me, Scott Pelley has plenty of platforms, right? If Scott Pelley wanted to give this speech on YouTube, he could do it and get similar distribution, I would think. Instead, to me, this is so inappropriate. And it goes, And on top of it, I think it's counterproductive. Because is Scott Pelley changing anyone's mind with that speak, or is he just now getting everybody going? 651-461-9226. Jason, I agree with you 100%. A graduation speech should be about the graduates, nothing more. Another texter says, this is the world they are graduating into. Well, there's some truth to that. Yeah, maybe that's an interesting point, because maybe the young people, this doesn't even stand out, because this is the world they graduate into. To me, if I'm going to my kid's graduation from NYU, and this is the tone, this is the conversation, like I'm furious. I'm furious. I just think it is inappropriate. Jason, what do you mean that Scott Pelley's speech was all about him? It was about all of us. Where, if not at the place where our future leaders are preparing to graduate, is the place? YouTube. You work for a television network if you believe in this. Maybe you should try to do an editorial and put it at CBS News. You come on my show. If Scott Pelley wants to say this, come on the program. Go on a talk show and talk about it. Graduation to me seems like the inappropriate place. Let's go to Alexandra in Minneapolis. She's on the CCO talk and text line 651-461-9226. Alexandra, thanks for calling. What do you think? How would you react if this, if you had a big political speech at a graduation you were at?
So, love the show, by the way. I agree, and I slightly disagree. I agree 100% that I do not think college grad. I'm recently graduated. Well, recent, I guess. I graduated during a pandemic. We had speeches. I think we're in such a socio-political time where, yes, but I also do not think that was all the time. Having political speeches at graduations, I think, can be great because it can inspire.
Alexandra, can I just stop you for a second? I don't know if you're using AirPods, maybe, but there's something. I want to make sure we can hear you, but it's.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, much better. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I was talking in my car. I think personally, as a somewhat recent college graduate, it's inspiring. You know, the whole point of the graduation speech is to have all these people that are coming out of kind of that college bubble, because it really is. I think we think we're adults, but we're not until we have to, you know, once we graduate and exit that kind of bubble that we live in. It's about inspiring kind of, you know, our next world leaders, right? But at the same time, I don't always think that political route is the best route. There's a way to inspire without having to kind of, we already are living in kind of a theater aspect. You know, we have so many unknowns. Did we secure that job? Did we not secure that job? We know the socio-political aspects that are happening in our country because we are some of the most aware youth on the planet. So
right,
it's like,
right.
I think it's really about motivating and saying, hey, yeah, these things are going on, but at the same time, you're going to thrive. You're going to find your niche. You're going to be the best version. And a lot of these speeches aren't doing that. They're just kind of reiterating the things that we kind of already know that are kind of, we're kind of scared of, you know, as these new adults that are full grown, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. Alexandra, thank you so much. Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, right? You think that maybe the Scott Pelley moment, could you have inspired with some of this as a topic in maybe a way that opens the table to everyone who's there? I think that is more what I would be interested in. I want to know what you think. 651-461-9226. Lots of text coming in. We'll share more of your thoughts as we discuss politics in commencement. We'll also play a little bit of what Tim Walz said. Maybe your expectation is different if you invite a politician versus a journalist. We'll talk about that when we come back.
sold his company, and he had nothing to do. He ended up getting a divorce, found a new wife. Could you say a trophy wife? I guess we can say a trophy wife. It didn't work out too well, but it doesn't, and that doesn't work out too well, I must tell you. A lot of trophy wives doesn't work out, but it made him happy for a little while at least.
I mean, found...
to a certain degree, it goes without saying that when I'm talking about inappropriate graduation speeches, pretty much every speech that Donald Trump ever gives, President Donald Trump ever gives, is inappropriate. I mean, yesterday, the Memorial Day message, which I get that it's a bit at this point, the happy Memorial Day, including to my haters and to the losers and whatever. But going with the scum, I think he called, did he call Democrats scum? I don't know. So, point taken, right? Calling the Democrats the scum who fought to destroy the U.S. Like, that's, you know, not great. Not great. But I refuse to let the, well, Donald Trump does it, be the standard that we use for this sort of thing. Now, am I saying that I want more trite kind of you can do it speeches? Well, I do think that people have a lot of wisdom to offer to young people as they make that moment leaving the world of academia into the world of work and the world of living. And to me, that is a moment for a forward looking kind of conversation like that. And frankly, yes, I would rather have a funny or trite or boring speech than fire and brimstone and politics. And I just don't think that's the moment for it.
You'd rather have a Muppet?
I'd rather have Kermit.
I see. Now, this is I railed against that last week.
That's
an
interesting one.
And I objected to that for the same reason I would object to this. Because when you do the political commencement speech, or when you have the sock puppet doing the commencement speech, the focus isn't on the graduates. The point of having a commencement is to focus on the graduates and launching them into this new phase of their life. They're leaving one phase that'll never be that way again. They're moving into this new phase. And you're trying to both celebrate that transition and offer them some sort of wisdom as they move into this new one. That should be the focus of it. But when you do Kermit the Frog, or you have the politicians, you know, just railing and doing a political speech, nobody's talking about the graduates anymore. It's all about the speech and the person giving the speech. And that's just wrong, in my opinion.
Tim Walz spoke at the graduation for the University of Minnesota Law School on May 17th. And this was another example of something that just, for me, in my view, is I say it's not the time, it's not the place. But if you invite a sitting elected official, you are sort of asking for some of that. Here's part of
I'm a little obsessive about things that really irritate the crap out of me and this type of stuff. Because this palace in the sky is getting from the Qatari government, which he gets to keep for himself when he's done. Let's be very clear. It's a flying bribe. Blatantly unconstitutional. Even worse, this whole deal was signed off on by the Attorney General of the United States. Ostensibly our nation's top lawyer. Famously an independent job. But now, the Attorney General Pam Bondi is acting as the president's personal attorney. And weirdly enough, coincidentally enough, she happens to be a lobbyist for the government of Qatar. This is what the crumbling of rule of law looks like in real time. And it's exactly what the founders of this nation feared. A tyrant abusing power to persecute scapegoats and enemies.
So, I think now, I don't like it. I don't like it. At least that's a law school graduation. You're talking about law. You're talking about real world, modern legal issues. The rule of law, the attorney general. You invite the governor, you get what you get. Maybe the bottom line is that these are not the best people to give your graduation address. And a texter says, it seems to me when you invite a speaker, you know what you are inviting. What would people expect Scott Pelley to talk about? Well, I don't know. The dude was the anchor of the CBS Evening News. He's been a correspondent at 60 Minutes. Like, maybe you think he's going to spin a couple of yarns. Like, I know that today 60 Minutes and CBS has been at the crosshairs of the Trump administration. I'm not even disagreeing with anything. My views on what they're talking about is not the point. I believe graduation should be about the graduates. A texter says it should be a pep talk. The kids are scared enough of entering the real world. I do sometimes think about that, too. You're worried. I mean, think back to that moment when you're sitting there at graduation. I don't know. You're excited. You're glad you made it. You're glad you're done. You're nervous about the future. And then in comes, you know, graduation speaker with the scary, like, the rule of law is fading and the Gestapo, the modern day Gestapo is coming for you. And the government is, and like, again, I'm not, just, you can get this kind of content everywhere. Maybe Kermit is looking better. Klobuchar spoke at my daughter's college graduation in 2022, same one-sided crap. Jason, don't you understand why Scott Pelley is drawing attention to this at a college graduation? Higher learning institutions and critical thinking are under attack by our current administration. People everywhere need to speak this truth. We cannot all sit by and think someone else will take care of this. My issue, so that approach, where has that gotten anyone? Those of you who sit in this self-righteous position that if only everyone would speak up, then everyone would come around. You say that because you are so convinced that you're right. And the world is not accepting this. This has never been how we convince people of our opinion. We have lost an ability to convince people of our opinion. And maybe some of it is because people aren't open to it. But if people aren't open to it, then what are we even doing with these sorts of graduation speeches? Jason, you know what's really funny is you're talking about two governors and you had to bring Donald Trump into it. If that's the way to have a real conversation, nothing like deflecting the issue by bringing up Donald Trump. So Scott Pelley's not a governor.
Yeah. Who was the other governor? I missed that part. But then we got the other text. You condemn Scott Pelley and Tim Walz, but Donald Trump gets a pass. So
just can't win.
People just don't listen.
I'm against all of this. I do think there are ways to talk about our current world, challenges facing these young people as they go into the world, without making it a turnoff to people who disagree with you. It's what we try to do on this show. We try, you know how I feel about Donald Trump, but I also invite people who support Donald Trump to come to the table and talk about what you think. I find that to be a more productive way to sort of move forward. If you want to, I mean, honestly, you look at the way the right has villainized higher education, parts of the right have villainized higher education and colleges as being sort of a woke little bubble of liberal thought. And then you have this kind of stuff and you're like, well, no wonder the right thinks this stuff, thinks this way. I just don't see it as productive. Come to my graduation and tell my kids it's going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. That's what I would like to hear. Let's break. When we come back, why does this year's Timberwolves experience in the Western Conference Final feel so worse? Doesn't it feel worse? Last year, this city was on fire, electric, excited. The Timberwolves were in the Western Conference Finals. And this year, people are acting like we have the worst team in the history of basketball. We'll talk about why when we come back. We are Loserville USA when it comes to sports. We just are. when it comes to professional men's sports. I have to have the caveats now because someone's already run to their phone to text me. The Frost! What about the Frost? I'm happy for the Frost. And there are six teams in their league. Like, 1 year I won a fantasy football league, and there were only four other people playing. And you know what? It didn't count. I only beat four other people. It's not. Now, I do think the Frost winning is a great comeback story. They had a okay regular season. They had a massive turnover in the front office. Made you wonder what was going on, and then they kind of got it cooking and hit at the right time and won. Wonderful. And also, come on, guys. Right? Like, six teams in the league. It's a foundation. It's what it starts, but I don't have to asterisk. Do I? But I digress. So, Loserville, USA is sort of the deal here, right? The last, I think there was some stat that our professional sports team, and this was, I don't know, what have we gone? Probably close to 55 or 60 straight playoff appearances of the men's professional sports teams without winning a championship. The Minnesota Wild have set a new standard in futility by not getting out of the first round for how many consecutive years? Nine, I think. So you can understand why people are a little like next level on edge about the Timberwolves. Because last year the Timberwolves got to the Western Conference Finals. And the city was jubilant. It was like this improbable run where we suddenly allowed ourselves to believe that maybe someone will win. And then reality came, right? Reality came and took care of the Timberwolves. But they had an amazing run. They had an amazing run. This year, I don't sense the positivity, the excitement, the energy. It feels different. And maybe it's because we're playing Oklahoma City. And maybe we just don't believe. Right? Is that it? Is it that we just don't believe? I love your thoughts at 651-461-9226 because I'm a little surprised. And last year, the Twins didn't make it to the playoffs. Last year, the Vikings had like a, you know, it's not exactly.
It's a great regular season.
It's a great regular season.
That finished pretty poorly.
So last night when the Timberwolves lose, you see sort of the, well, you know, here we go again, Minnesota sports. And the Wolves are in trouble. They're down 3-1. Oklahoma City is outstanding, losing by 2 points at home in a game where the bench scored more than 60. You think, like, if you look at that stat alone, you would be like, oh, they're going to win the game. There's a difference in the way a team captivates their own fans and the way a team captivates the wider community. So at Target Center, the Timberwolves fans who are at Target Center, I think, believe. They've seen the team excel. They have seen the talent. They've seen the struggle of the beginning of the season and then the way the team came together, embracing Julius Randle, figuring out how he fits, having it work. I think the fans believe. But when you get to a conference finals in a community where We just don't win, Dan. It is the reality here. We, I believe, when you look at men's professional sports, have the longest drought of anybody.
1991. So 34 years.
And we have all the sports.
Yes. All four.
So it makes it worse.
It does. I mean, it does.
It's four times a year you're going to get like a punch in the gut.
And there's been, along those 30 some odd years, a very tortured history of the many and varied and sundry ways in which teams have managed to fail to succeed and win championships that have the fan base understandably gun shy.
Yep.
They don't want to invest emotionally because they don't want to get hurt again. And this Timberwolves team, especially to me, has been difficult to get your hands around or your arms around.
Right.
Because it's been such a roller coaster ride this year, from the late preseason trade of Cat to trying to get into the new guys, to try to figure out how the new guys fit in.
Yeah.
Then they played really well for a stretch. And then there was just these times where the team just sort of didn't show up. And you had a little bit of that in the first two games of this series where it looked bad. But part of the reaction last night was based off of game three, when you have this dominant victory where everything goes right and you show what kind of team you can be. And then as soon as the doubts start to creep in game four, people just immediately shut down, and I don't blame them a bit.
I think it's very interesting that, and I think you put your finger on it, the fact that Cat was traded away, and just the wider, I guess I expected more glee and more jubilation that, like, this isn't the same as making it. Like, oh, well, at least we made the playoffs. Like, no. This was a team that struggled during the regular season, dispatched very impressively of two other superstar teams en route to this Western Conference Finals. And so the, like, woe is me, like, oh, Minnesota sports, like, I just, to me, that's not the right vibe here. The vibe for me is you do have a team that is going to be in it. And now the expectation is set, right? Like,
well, and that's, you know, you mentioned the making the Western.
Do you have to win the championship to have? I don't know.
To a degree, right? But last year, like you said, I think people were just happy to see them get
to
the Western,
be that far, yeah.
Western Conference Finals. So then you want to say, okay, now the expectation is set. This team has the talent to get to that point and to maybe challenge for an NBA championship. Except this isn't the same team as last year. It's not even close. You took a major, major piece from last year's team out.
Yeah.
Put some other pieces in and tried to figure out, you know, how that all works together. So it's like people don't know what to do with that. If Cat was still here, then yes, the expectation would be at least Western Conference Finals and maybe get to the NBA Finals and maybe win a championship. Yeah. But it's like you don't even know what to do with the expectation anymore because this isn't that
same team.
We just
don't know how to do it.
It's a completely different team.
Yeah, it is a different team. But that is the reality of sports, right? Like, I mean,
especially in the NBA.
In the NBA, players move around like that.
Yeah.
And if you're not moving, you're losing ground because other teams are moving.
Yeah.
So the idea that you just sit with what you have and give it another run is sort of the way we get the Wild and the way we get to a certain degree the Twins this year.
Sure, I mean,
although the Twins say, well, I don't know.
The Wild are in that position and have been forever, where they're, you know, good enough to make the playoffs, but they can't win a series, so they don't get a high draft pick, and they just, you know, and obviously, with the restrictions that they were under financially with Parisian Suter, you know, you can't free agent your way to getting better in those cases. So you're just sort of stuck in that middle ground, which, you know, I mean, nobody wants to be in a town where, you know, you don't want to be rooting for the White Sox. You don't want to be rooting for the Colorado Rockies. You don't want to be rooting for teams that are just blatantly awful. But if you're just okay, that actually might be worse. At least if you're awful, you have a chance to add some talent.
We've never been awful enough to really.
Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and a texture echoes what you're saying. After Cat left and A-Rod bought the team, the casual fan doesn't feel connected. There might be something to that. I'm just saying enjoy it. Like, here we have 2 years in a row that one of our men's sports teams has made it to the conference final. Like, not the play-in, not round one, like to the almost to the big dance. 349, Twins ticket Tuesday today. We are going to give away what, four tickets, I think?
It is a four-pack, yes.
I don't know. I'm a bit of a... I'm so worked up.
You're our
I don't even have the information.
It's a four-pack of tickets.
For June 6th.
There you go. Against the Blue Jays.
Oh, that'll be
a
fun.
It's a Friday night game, 7:10 first
and
pitch.
Fireworks after the game because it's a Friday night game, so that'll be good. Tickets at twins.com/tickets. It's when the Twins come back to Target Field next week. Oh, the weather's going to be so good. Why don't we check the weather and the traffic for you in just a minute here on CCO. Radio auction. It's coming. It's Thursday. It's going to be amazing. The Cure Blood Cancer Radio Auction is all day Thursday here on CCO. And if you go to my Instagram, at DeRussiaJ, or my Facebook, Jason DeRussia, I have posted the six experiences that we'll be auctioning off on Thursday. So I wanted to get you thinking about it now. It's a live auction, but if you want to pre-bid, send me a note. Jason@odyssey.com. We can work it out, but we've got a progressive dinner where you're going to dinner with me at a couple places in the North Loop. We've got a Taste of Minnesota, crazy VIP experience, in-home wine, party for you, thanks to Certix. Four Seasons suite at the Four Seasons and breakfast each day. And this really cool Minnesota Twins dugout buddies experience. So if you have kids or grandkids, you're going to want to check that out. Go to my Facebook or my Instagram. Check it out. And we'll have so much fun raising money for NMDP to cure blood cancer in honor and in tribute to Jordana and her battle. So it's going to be awesome stuff on Thursday. Can't wait for it. But plan ahead. Let's raise some money.